back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is back. It's always great to have him on. You know, Sandy, before we went to break, we're talking about, I was asking you about whether or not Vladimir Putin can unilaterally make these decisions for the entire nation. And that there are no checks and balances. And if that's the case, that's where the real fear comes, that one man and his feelings and emotions can really lead to, you know, nuclear annihilation. And if that is the case, that's all the more reason that you have to ignore the clamoring from so many people in this country who want to see us step into this. And the more they see it, the more they want to see us step in. Those cries, Sandy, are louder and louder every day as they're trying to bring more pressure to bring us into this.
I think that's this. You pointed out right there a difference between an autocratic system and the system we've got. I mean, we seem to have a Wizard of Oz sitting behind a green curtain, and we don't know quite who calls the shots, but we do know that it's a number of different people. We also know that when the public clamors for us to send the planes in, we do have maybe cooler heads prevailing that are in the State Department and in the White House and elsewhere who know better and aren't letting it happen. So when you have on the other hand, in Russia, where you have a country that is basically run by one person, I mean, he's set the table. Russia was always used to having a czar and then a dictator, and then they had a brief period of what seemed to be a democratic process. But Putin was able to, you know, they used to have a two-term limit. He was elected in 2000, and then in 2008, when it was time for him to step down, he had the power to insert in his stead a guy named Medvedev, who was basically his puppet. He became prime minister. Medvedev became president for 4 years, and then who's back after the 4 years but Putin? So he's been consolidating power for a long time, and now he had a legislature that was willing to adopt a change in the succession plan. It's no longer two limits for Putin. He can stay in power until 2036. So that's a demonstration, I think, of the extent to which he has unilateral power. In the United States, yeah, we have to be careful. I mean, first of all, we should be asking ourselves, what exactly is it about the situation in Russia that we're so worried about? And if it's the kind of alliance that Russia might have insisted upon with Ukraine, I think it could be that the end of this war that's happened, we'll find out that the alliance or the treaty that's signed will look a great deal like the alliance that Russia wanted to get from Ukraine in the first place. So, you know, there are just these geopolitical realities that the United States needs to take into consideration before they run headlong into kind of playing in places where they don't necessarily have a lot of experience, a lot of interest, or a lot of knowledge, like Eurasia. It turns out that if you study much about Eurasia, Eastern Europe and the Eurasian area, it's different than Western Europe. And the thought process is different, and our geopolitical interest and experience is different.
You know, Sandy, Russia basically is standing alone. You know, when you're in a position and there's a whole world, and you are standing alone, and there's nobody that you can relate to at this point in time, which is what Putin must feel like, and the rest of the Russian people feel like, and that guy doesn't have basically anybody that he can have a conversation with that will say, hey Vladimir, I think this may not be worth, you know, what we are, you know, putting into this. Maybe there's a time that we realize that maybe now is not the time to force this issue. Let's pull back. Let's do what's in the best interest of our country, our countrymen. And okay, so you made your point. But there is nobody that I can see, Sandy, who either has the courage to tell him that or is willing to do that. And there's no other nation, I guess, Sandy, you tell me if I'm wrong, that he's close enough to. I mean, China's not going to tell him that. Because go ahead.
Well, I mean, Western Europe has a lot of oil and gas dependence on Russia. You can see that France and Germany and some of the other countries have a somewhat moderate view, a little bit more moderate view of what we ought to be doing with Russia. I think the problem is that the blood is in the water. If we hadn't taken it to the point where we have an ongoing hot war, and we've pushed Russia into a position where for some reason they decided this was the thing they had to do, once it's been done, the ability to create now a much softer approach to Russia becomes more difficult, with at least as long as Putin is in charge, because it would appear that we're basically bending under his will and appeasing him in much the way that, you know, people were accused of appeasing Adenauer people were accused of appeasing Hitler before World War II. So that's my problem. I have a little less hope that we can reach a new and better policy unless and until the names of the players change, particularly Putin. And Putin's a very powerful person. I think that the reason this happened is I think Putin decided the West was against him. I think he decided before we lined up in this fashion in the last 6 months. And I think he decided, you know what, screw the West. I'm going to regain Russia's majesty independently from the rest of the world, and I'm going to assert our majesty in a powerful sort of a way, which is the way Eurasian countries have behaved. You know, that's the way empires ebbed and flowed. And of course, the empire of the USSR ebbed because of the collapse of the USSR. Russia in 1991 didn't assert itself to create a strong set of treaties with the other republics. And everyone in Russia who was proud of the USSR had their pride seriously deflated and injured by the sort of the ineptness of the way Russia handled the collapse of the USSR. And Putin, since 2000, when he was elected, has been hell-bent on trying to resurrect some of the majesty of the USSR and to make up for the mistakes that the Russians believe Gorbachev made when the USSR was allowed to simply collapse. And there was nothing done by Russia to retrieve the power that resided in Russia in the USSR. And that's what Putin's all about now. He's simply trying to resurrect what was.
You know, Sandy, it's not such an inconceivable idea to, I mean, when you just totally dismiss the man as being crazy, you know, all his life, He's been there, and the majesty, as you stated, of Russia and all of those things, and to now for that man to want that as he ages, to want things to be back the way they were, for heaven's sakes, in our country we're saying we want to go back to the way things were. You're hearing this constantly. Let's go back. Well, to think that he's asking to go back to what it once was, that's not an inconceivable thought for a man. And that's not a crazy idea.
No, in fact, you know, what was done in Georgia.
We've got to go to the break, so hang on. Yep. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.